And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. I'm talking about down south of Birmingham, north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, over to Gadsden. We got parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. And as always, solid conservative and just plain right. Okay, I got to tell you, before I jump into my topics, got some text there. First of all, new on the line with us on the text line is retired Master Sergeant Juan Carlos from Newmarket. And Master Sergeant, we thank you for being in the audience. He says, where I got that article from was military.com. He says, military.com is the same liberal rag as the Army, Navy, and Air Force Times and the Stars and Stripes, all the liberal news fit to print. Man, I so agree. I mean, just because it says military.com does not mean it's military friendly. It's more like, how liberal can we make our military? Let's print some stories. But yeah, Master Sergeant, thank you. What else we got there? James is saying, yes, more T-shirts. Right Side Ruffians. Okay, thanks, man. James from Harvest. We got, Jeff from Indiana saying he's afraid that if we start federalizing all these bathrooms, get the federal facilities, get we'll have creepers everywhere. I don't doubt it. Who was it that said, where'd it go? Was it Paul? Nope. I got somebody in here that said something about how these joint showers in the mornings are going to wind up being a constant series of dishonorable discharges. And I totally agree. All right. Listen, I'm going to jump into my topic right now. Boomer, got to stay on topic. If he's somewhere in the topic, that's great. But otherwise, I got to get moving on some stuff here. All right. Numbers don't lie. So, it's amazing to me the gaslighting that is going on right now with the Biden administration. Karine Jean-Pierre, the, you know, glass ceiling breaking press secretary who literally seems to kind of be in over her head at every given turn. It's just, anyway, she came out the other day and talked about how encouraging the news of the economy is and how we've been doing everything in the past year to drive the economy forward and all that. What world is she living? I mean, does she not think that we can look at our own, you know, grocery bills? Does she not think that we can see the meter running when we put gas in our tanks? Well, this is what's, by the way, this is still considered to be the number one issue heading into the midterm elections, which are just right around the corner. Praise God. I mean, we're literally about, 5 weeks away from the midterms. And by the way, let me chase a rabbit real quick. Don't worry about polls that come and go, polls that say Republicans are down, Republicans are up. Just go to the polls and vote and tell all your friends to vote and tell them to remember the things they've had to go through in the last 2 years and vote accordingly. We are going to be fine, let me just tell you. Boomer, is my caller on the line or no? He is? Well, okay. Then I tell you what, I'll just grab that call real quick. If he's on topic, I'll take it. Line two, Thomas from Athens. Thomas, how you doing today?
Hey, I'm blessed, sir. How are you?
I'm good. What's on your mind?
Well, I have got a way to make this gasoline problem much easier for the Democrats to solve rather than having all of us buy electric cars. And it would take somebody with a better social presence online than me.
Okay.
Reintroduce the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit. It's urgent that we reduce emissions from the vehicles and the trucks. That would save fuel. That would drive the price down because we wouldn't be using enough fuel. If you have somebody that with a good social presence that would go out and reintroduce the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit nationwide, that might help somebody in the elections too.
I don't know that I see that being the winning topic, though. I'll be honest with you. I'm pretty sure that we would see a constant replay of Sammy Hagar's song, I Can't Drive 55. Just saying.
That's for sure. It would tick a lot of people off, that's for sure.
Ain't no doubt, man. Hey, Thomas, thanks for the call, man. You have a great day. I don't know that we're going to get there. I'm pretty sure that people like 70 and they're going to hang on to it. Just depending. But okay, here's other numbers though you might want to know. Epoch Times reports as of September 23rd. Just remember this as we head toward the midterm elections. U.S. mortgage rates have jumped to a 14-year high as the Fed delivered its jumbo rate hike. So last week, the Fed delivered its third in a row meeting where they came out with a new rate hike. Another 0.75%. It says that U.S. mortgage rates have spiked to record highs for the fifth straight week following the Federal Reserve's decisions to raise its key interest rate. The average interest rate on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is now at 6.29%. 6.29%. Well, this, like a little bit further down in the same paragraph, it just confirms what I said the other day on the show. As an attorney, I do a lot of real estate work. And I'm going to tell you, this is confirmed for me. It says a year ago on September of 2021, the average interest rate on a 30-year fixed was only 2.88. We're talking nearly 4 points it's climbed since then. That is unbelievable in 1 year. That's literally a point per quarter almost. It goes on to say the spike in the mortgage rates came after the Federal Reserve raised interest rates for the fifth time this year. And raising it to a target range, that's the Fed rate, between 3 and 3.25. When that happens, it drives everything else up. Fed Chairman Jerome Powell said inflation was running too high, that rates will move higher and remain elevated for some time. And when you look at this, how this affects other things, well, it jumped right into the housing market. So the National Association of Home Builders came out and said their builder sentiment ratings are down for the 9th consecutive month. Literally, they're sitting at, and I'm not sure how they developed their index, but their index right now shows the builders' sentiment rating at 46. Those are the guys that build the new houses. And it says anything below 50 is considered a negative. In January, it says the builder sentiment had registered a value of 83. So just since January of this year, it has dropped from a high of 83 to a low of 46. Numbers do not lie. Well, as we look at numbers, understand this. The people in charge of making decisions that set fiscal policy right now have a horrible track record. Horrible. Representative Thomas Massey in justthenews.com. Dated just a couple days ago. Representative Thomas Massey points out, in his words, over 40% of all debt accrued since the U.S. was created has been done under Nancy Pelosi's tenure. That's pretty amazing when you get down to it. So here we are as a nation. What are we, how old are we, 250-ish, 240 years old? And over 40% of all national debt accrued since we became a nation has happened on Nancy Pelosi's watch. Jiminetti. But then you look at other numbers, and this is not to be downplayed here, because the market affects everything. The market drives inflation. The market drives retirement returns. The market drives how well we can see industry moving forward. The market drives economic development. The market drives all of it. Wall Street's main indexes slumped to a close well down on Friday. Wall Street slumps as investors fret on rate hikes and in recession. This is the Epoch Times again, September 23rd. The Dow narrowly avoided ending more than 20% lower than its January 4th record all-time closing peak. It's down from 36,000, down 20% from there, just since January. Says the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ are already considered to be bear markets. The Dow is not quite into a bear, but it's close. Those of you that understand economics recognize that what we're looking at here is recession, all right? And let's go ahead and call it what it is. They can try to pretend that it's not, but we've had 2 quarters in a row of downward trends that always have been categorized as recession. This was not happening prior to Biden taking office. Policies where you flood the economy with money while also paying people not to produce, therefore creating a shortage of goods and services, but yet people having more money in their pocket, all it does is drive up inflation, and then you add to it a supply chain that can't keep up even with what it has. And then international tensions added on top of that because of bad foreign policy. And you're sitting here in a powder keg. Now, I'm not trying to paint gloom and doom. We're gonna survive this. But it's just not fun doing it. Right now, we're looking at literally something in the neighborhood of $11,500 more per year being spent by American families to maintain the standard of living they had before all this started. That is significant. But it's not just us. This article I've got from the Epoch Times says, A half a dozen central banks, including in the United States, Britain, Sweden, Switzerland, and Norway, all delivered rate hikes this last week to fight inflation. But the Fed, our Fed, went further and caught some people off guard. It says the Fed's trying to rip the Band-Aid off, trying to kill inflation while job markets are still strong, by signaling that this was not going to be the end of it, that it was going to go further. Well, that's happening. And then you add to it the fact that the Biden administration doesn't get it. All they've got is money. We got to put money in somebody's hands. If we buy them something, it'll be okay. Give them an Obama phone. Do something. What are we going to do? I don't know. Give them something. It's like this desperation to just hand people money. Why? So maybe in the short term, they'll quit recognizing the amount of pain that the economy is having and go vote for you again. It's called buying votes. And it's sick. FoxNews.com, storyline dated yesterday. Biden's student loan handout is now estimated to cost more than $400 billion, according to the CBO. So the Congressional Budget Office, some Republicans asked for the CBO to please score this effort by Biden to pay off these student loans. And it's just like, gosh. I mean, where is it? What are you doing? CBO estimates that the cost of student loans will increase by about an additional $400 billion in present value as a result of the action designed to cancel $10,000 of debt. The analysis by CBO also said that Biden's suspension of payments for other borrowers, which was part of the same action, will hit taxpayers too. Yeah, keep that in mind. Biden also changed the dynamics of other people who owe money, not just student loans. It was a bailout in general. In other words, you can borrow money and do it for free. Hoo-hoo! Where's the loss in that? Except that somebody's got to pay for it. It's not like they just print money all the time. Sometimes they just grab ours and use it. Got a caller on line one. I'll grab that real quick for the break. I got about a minute here. Sparky from Harvest. Sparky, how you doing, man?
Hey, Phil and Boomer. Listen, I may have missed it, and you probably mentioned it, but in my observation, one of the chief causes of the North American recession is Joe Biden's administration, immediately upon taking office, clamping down on the oil and natural gas industry and coal industries with crippling sanctions and punishments for trying to produce what we need to run the country and move goods and services. Absolutely, probably one of the number one causes of our current economic state is that exactly. The whole woke green policy is designed to destroy the coal, oil, and natural gas industry.
No, I agree. He threw a shock into the market. The oil and gas exploration and the refining industry both kind of came to a grinding halt. They could blame it on COVID for a while, but what there really was a group of industry experts who recognized that there's no reason to invest their billions of dollars if they're just going to get shut down again a few years from now. So why bother? And so they began to shut down a huge sector of our economy, and then all of a sudden we went from being energy independent to energy dependent. We're not even a net oil exporter anymore.
No, absolutely not. And if the truck drivers have to pay unbelievably high prices to move those goods to us, those goods are going to double in price, and they sure have.
Well, not only that, Sparky, but I just saw a report a couple days ago that said the state of California is passing new legislation that will require any vehicle that transports goods inside the state to be an electric vehicle, meaning you're going to have to ship it to the border of California and somebody else take it from there with an electric powered truck. It's going to be ridiculous.
Those people are insane. I mean, that is the very model of insanity.
Well, it is, and they keep doing the same thing over and over again. So there you go. Sparky, got to go, man. I got a break, so I got to run to it. You have a great day, bud. All right, Boomer, take us to the break. I'll come right back and wrap this up. I feel like I just started off the show on a low note. But we are going to survive this. I mean, I absolutely look. Remember 2008? We got through it. But I also remember the 70s because I'm that old. I remember the 70s, and I've said more than once, it took a Carter to bring us a Reagan. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. Thank you, Boomer. I recognize that right as you did flip that switch, so I appreciate you. Boomer, you do incredible work, by the way. I just got to brag on you. You're not just the manager of the monkeypox task force. You're not just a pretty face. You actually make all this stuff work in here.
I'm trying real hard.
Doing a good job, Boomer.
Thank you.
Got some texts over here. Let's see what I got here of late. Frank from Madison apparently was in the service, and Frank from Madison was talking about those hollow years of the 70s I talked about where, you know, we were in the Carter era. And he says, I remember we could only start our vehicles once a week to perform motor stables in the mid-70s. Yeah, what he's talking about was literally they had to exercise their military vehicles, I guess, performing motor stables, where you literally went down to the motor pool, checked them out. You were allowed to run the engine, but you couldn't drive the vehicle around because there was not enough fuel to really, go that route. That's just amazing. But we got a number of other texts coming in. You want to text in or call in? 833-687-4448. That's 833-687-4448. Finishing this section up on the numbers don't lie. I don't know if you saw this or not yesterday, but it just boggles my mind. Every once in a while, I see something I'm thinking, I'm trying not to be, I mean, I don't want this show to be a gripe session. I don't want to be insulting or demeaning. But I look at some stuff and I'm thinking, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Fox Business came out with a piece talking about the president giving a speech yesterday, and I saw the video of this, and it was an awful speech. It's like he was kind of slumped over at a table, kind of reading, kind of half-hearted, turning the pages and just kind of like this. And then he would liven up a minute, and then he'd come back down. And he was basically excoriating the oil and gas companies that he claims are still making record profits, billions of dollars in profits, man. He says, my message is simple. To the companies running gas stations and setting those prices at the pump, bring down the prices you're charging at the pump to reflect the price you're paying for the product. Do it now. What if they are, Mr. President? I've got a friend of mine in the oil and gas industry. He and I talked about this at length. I need to get him on the show. I need to get Jeff on the show sometime soon. He's been doing this for years. He said, there are margins. You have to make a profit or you're not really a business. You're just a charity at that point. He said, but at the same time, we don't charge well beyond what we're bringing in. He said, we have to pay a rate. We have to then charge a rate to the actual service station, who then charges a rate to the consumer. Somewhere in there, each business has to stay afloat. But at the same time, no one's out there just making tons of money because we're, you know, gouging everybody. No. In fact, there's actually laws against price gouging. You've got people that are setting a market rate. And yet the president's solution is to try and vilify businesses by saying, you're making too much money. You need to lower that price. Yeah, that's a great idea, Mr. President. And then when they go out of business and people lose their jobs, how's that going to go over? Well, but I took action. Yeah, okay. These businesses are not corn pops, sir. You can't go after the rough guy with the chain. I mean, it doesn't work this way. It's like another clear example. He has never run anything in his whole life, ever. And the numbers don't lie. What we're seeing right now is a consistent example of the fact that the current commander-in-chief, the current president of the United States, and all the minions that follow him, they have never run a thing in their life. I mean, he had 40 years in D.C., 40 years, with the benefit of rhetoric without responsibility. He could give a speech and walk away from the podium and not be in charge. Well, guess what? Now he's in charge, and we're feeling the fact that he has a lack of leadership skill and a lack of experience. That's enough of that. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Coming back with my buddy Jeff Poor. We got an update for you on some stuff happening in the news. We'll be right back.